Tonight, I'm going to share with you a passage about early church's prayer to learn from their prayer. And also, I'm going to share how the Chinese churches stay true and make that prayer their own. The passage I'm going to use is Acts 4:23-31. I'm going to read that for you. Acts 4:23-31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined to have to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders and perform through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This is the word of God. The direct cause of the current persecution in China is the ruling party, Communist Party, the government, they attempt to contain the churches. Because they are afraid of churches' growth, it's a threat to their controlling power. They have been the dominating power for 70 years, and they are afraid people will rise up and, because of a religious reason, put them into a difficult situation and bring the instability to the nation. So, in order to contain the church, they implemented a new religious regulation in February 2018. We call that new regulation. The purpose of this new regulation is to reinforce their control. And that's the background of today's persecution in China. Very interestingly, in the verses we just read, actually a few verses before the passage we just read, the authorities in Jerusalem also proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ a threat to their power. So in Acts 4:18, this says, the scripture says, "So they called them, Peter and John, and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." And that was the first new regulation, the first new religious regulation in the New Testament history church history. In response to this new religious regulation, the apostles responded in Acts 4:19-20. They said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak out what we have been heard." After they were further threatened and released, the apostles went to their own people and they gave the prayer we just read. That's the background. They are also under a new religious regulation of the Jerusalem authority. This corporate prayer of the New Testament churches show us three things we can learn from. Number one, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. They were earlier called to the earthly power. That's a clear image. If you perceive that, they were threatened under the earthly power. They were standing there, and they judged them, and they threatened them, and sternly forbade them to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And in contrast to that picture earlier, and now they are in prayers standing before the throne of the heavenly God. They are standing there, waiting there, and reported and appealed to God. They fully lived in a reality that God is the most sovereign God, and He's in control, not the earthly power. God is in control, number one. Number two, what we learn is the worldly powers moves against Jesus Christ and His disciples. This is the inevitable fact because God is saving in this world. There is an enmity between the rulers of this world and of our King Jesus, who is the real King of God. And this is the result of the inescapable tension between the fallen human nature and the salvation and recreation mission of Jesus Christ. So, because of this, disciples identify themselves with the resurrected Jesus Christ and stay faithful to their mission because they are in union with Christ. Therefore, the New Testament churches consider the threat and pressure and persecution from the world authority a nature extension between this worldly and Jesus enmity and pass on to their physical body, to their life. Third, the church stays true to its identity and calling by asking boldness and the Spirit's help to fulfill its mission. If there's anything common between the worldly power and the disciples, their common is they both care the name of Jesus Christ. One threatened them not to spread, but they determined to advance the name of Jesus Christ. It's their only commonality. So, in that commonality, they never ask God to remove the pressure or persecution. On the contrary, their single request was to be faithful to their gospel calling and ask God to give them boldness so that they will continue advance the name of Jesus Christ. That's their single request. As a result, thanks God, the New Testament church, they did not waver under threat and persecution. They did not withdraw. They asked the boldness. They were so powered and led by the Spirit and made this powerful prayer to press on. And because of this press on, as a result, God was so pleased and answered their prayers by physically shaking their gathering places to show them His presence and His favor, and also fill them with the Holy Spirit and gave them boldness so they can share the gospel. Because of this prayer, this early church New Testament prayer, New Testament church's prayer, we are all standing here today. And we are also advancing Jesus' name, God's kingdom, in this prayer until the day our King will return. So likewise, many of the Chinese churches we are working with in China, they are fully aware of the nature of the new regulation is to demand their allegiance to the Communist Party. It's a threat. They see that as a non-negotiable test to their faithfulness to Christ, their only King. Like the early church, they determined to only obey the sovereign God, not the government. On the matters related to life and death of human soul, God is their only authority. Therefore, in September 2018, last year, more than 450 pastors, they jointly signed and made a declaration, they boldly lay out four principles in that nationwide declaration. I'm going to give you a summary of that. Number one, the Bible is a word of living God. It has final and highest authority over human souls. And number two, cross-bearing and martyrdom is a norm for Christians and for churches for thousands of years. And these pastors, they are eager to follow that path, to follow Christ. And number three, the churches are willing to obey and submit to the earthly authorities as long as their order and law do not violate God's reign. And fourthly, lastly, the churches will teach Christians to keep the church-state separation and that principle and maintain spiritual lordship only under Christ. And specifically, they are saying this, I'm quoting, "But under no circumstances will we lead our churches to join a religious organization controlled by the government to register with the religious administration department or to accept any kind of affiliation. We also will not accept any ban or fine imposed on our churches due to our faith. For the sake of this gospel, we are prepared to bear all losses, including the loss of our freedom and our lives." These are the four principles they lay out in September 2018, last year. So they are not, they fully aware God is sovereign. Everything they bear is because of Christ. They determine not to submit to the worldly power. In the meanwhile, the churches consider the current pressure and persecution God's way to refine and purify the Chinese churches, to make them stronger and to grow. They are not asking God to remove the pressure and persecution, but they are asking God for boldness to continue advance the name of Jesus Christ. I'm very impressed by your bulletin, the Mission Month bulletin, and I saw you are very well versed of the current persecution, what happened in China, and particularly in Chengdu. On page 26, there's a very good coverage on the Pastor Wang Yi and the early rain church and the raid arrest of the leaders on December 9th last year. I'm not going to repeat that. You can go there, 26, you can see that. On December 3rd, when I was in Chengdu, I spent the whole night with Pastor Wang Yi. I was in his apartment with his four member family. Perhaps I was his last guest before he was arrested. We had a whole night dinner time. We had a good fellowship. And he handed me a personal prayer letter where he reviewed the year of 2018 and looked forward to 2019. I'm going to read part of that to show his heart to boldly share the gospel, not wavering. When he reviewed last year, 2018, he said, "For us, this year has been a very long one. The Lord has led us to realize what it means by, as your days, so shall your strength be. This year has also been a very fierce one. Four times Wang Yi was taken to the police station, especially the first one, when he was taken together with Jiang Rong, his wife, to the police station, where they were detained for 12 hours. Everything we had was taken away, including our wedding rings, and we were stripped naked for body exams. This proved two things to us. First, we shall leave everything behind to follow the Lord. If necessary, we shall even leave marriage out of the Holy of the Holies, where we will face the living God alone and be faithful to the Lord. Second, we deserve all the shame and be treated as sinners. Yet, we have been saved by Jesus and delivered from the coming eternal shame. He has endured all these and much more than we have. With such, we have been led by the Lord into deeper faith and joy this year. Looking forward to the next year, 2019, and they wrote this. On May 28th, Wang Yi and several co-workers were taken into a police station for detention and beating. That afternoon, he made a resolution before God that before he reaches the age of 53, the age of which Calvin passed away, he would devote the next 10 years to a new gospel movement. If he is imprisoned next year, it's earlier than next year, last December, he will entrust everything to the Lord and start his personal prison ministry. If he's free, he will be even bolder in preaching and ask God to transform him into a preacher that will turn the world upside down. He also asked, if the Lord willing, before he turns 64, the age at which Martin Luther passed away, he would devote his next 20 years to this new gospel movement. He hopes to see the Lord Jesus Christ's new revival within the Chinese church in the next 20 years, like the Shandong revival from 1927 to 1937, when a group of preachers, faithful pastors and theologians would rise up. Wang Yi asked God to work through him for the next 20 years. After age of 64, he will be ready to go to his heavenly home any moment. And 5 days later, after he gave me this letter, he was taken into prison together with 20 more leaders. Until today, they have no access to lawyers. They have no access to any goods from outside. And before coming to Briarwood, I just had a retreat in KL, Malaysia, with quite some Chinese leaders from the same gospel movement Wang Yi and we have been into. We all know that Wang Yi, our beloved brother, is now fully investing himself in the prison ministry as he planned. And for us who are outside, we determined to press on this gospel movement. We determined to press on toward the goal for the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We also determined we will turn the world upside down. After our retreat, the pastors went back to China, returned, and I come to you as their mouthpiece. They stay true in this prayer. Let's also stay true in this prayer and make this prayer our own. Let us press on toward the goal for the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's press on to turn the world upside down. Thank you.
What a fitting message for a global missions conference, and to know that our brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing such difficulty, and to know that this is something that they can teach us here in the American church. And our hearts are encouraged because they're asking for boldness, that they stay the course and stay fixed on Christ. And after all, that's the theme of our missions conference this year, taken from John 12, 21. And that's the focus of what we would even draw from some of this that's been shared with us tonight. In John 12, it says the Greeks came and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." You know, that's what's going to sustain our brothers and sisters in China under such heavy persecution. An image of Christ that's biblical and clear and purposeful and focused, that they would see Jesus. In John chapter 12, we get images of Christ from a variety of perspectives. Because Jesus had a ministry, and this was right before he was about to enter into the city, and they were going to lay palm branches so that he could cross over on the donkey, and they were going to be shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." That was one version from the crowd, that they would see Jesus as Hosanna. But there were others in that story in John chapter 12. We see Mary, who shatters the extravagant perfume and washes the feet of Jesus. Clearly, how did she see Jesus? It's worthy of extravagant sacrificial love. Martha, who was there and always busy serving, and she saw Jesus as someone to be served and worthy of her service. And Lazarus, of course, was raised from the dead just a few chapters earlier in John. And there he was. He sees Jesus as his healer. He sees Jesus as someone to be worshipped, who has the power over life and death. And then Judas, of course, is there in John chapter 12. Well, how does he see Jesus? Someone to steal from the money bags that he was entrusted to. And the large crowd, well, they were gathered as a source of curiosity. How did they see Jesus? Someone to kind of see what was going on, what was happening there. And the Pharisees, they saw him much like we heard tonight about the Chinese government, as a rival, as someone who is a threat to them in their existence. And the chief priests, they saw Jesus as a blasphemer, one who was worthy of death. And the Greeks were asking a powerful question. Sir, we would see Jesus. If you didn't have an opportunity to pick up this book that's in our bookstore, it's by the same title, We Would See Jesus by Roy Hessian. It's a powerful read. It's a short read, but it gives you a picture of Jesus, a biblical picture of Jesus. And that's what we need. I would ask you the question, how do you see Jesus? Because everything in your life falls from how you answer that question. You heard tonight about our brother and how he sees Jesus facing such severe opposition. You know, persecution has a way of shaking out the true believers from those of us who are the hangers-on. It has a way of wrestling our souls about what's really important to us. May your answer to that question be one that exalts and honors Christ. How do you see Jesus? This evening, we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's sacrificial gift to us, that he laid down his life in order that sinners would be set free from all of their sins, that he might appease the wrath of God and grant his righteousness to us who are desperate sinners, dead in our transgressions and sins. In John chapter 12, verse 32, he said himself, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto himself." We shouldn't be surprised that he would say this, because he said it earlier in John 3 with Nicodemus. Do you see Jesus as high and lifted up? Do you see yourself as a sinner desperately needing the grace and mercy and love of Christ in his blood, his body broken and his blood poured out for you? Thanks be to God. He is our Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, whose death and resurrection is how we have right standing before you. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in China who are praying for boldness and courage. Would you grant it in full measure? Help them to see Jesus. Help us to see Jesus. Amen.